Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. I am Yuridi Wickham Ashby, and today we'll delve into a topic that sometimes is a bit thorny, a bit difficult to deal with, but one that needs to be dealt with anyway. And with me today to discuss the whole topic of being a father, living without a father, fatherlessness, deadbeat fathers, however you want to term it, is Sinclair Brown. Welcome to the program, Sinclair.
Hello, evening. Hello to everyone out there. Yes, you had me laughing when you said deadbeat. Yes, that was quite funny.
Yes. Well, you know, we used a lot of terms that we hear from other places as well. So, yeah. But Sinclair, in order for us to be here, it meant that we had to have a father and a mother.
Yes, please.
Some persons may say a sperm donor. Mm-hmm. Somebody might have said whatever. Mm-hmm. But we do need male and female to reproduce.
Yes, please.
And we're going to focus a bit on the importance of having a father in our lives as children, as young adults, and go from there.
Okay. Yes, please. It is very important. Fathers are very, very, very important to our society. And I think that sometimes even the terms that something that men receive, not in the most positive light, can impact how men behave, how they think. I said the term deadbeat dad. I'm not a fan of the term, to be quite honest. That's why it had me laughing. Because by extension, when men are in a society that are not necessarily encouraged to be that father, it is, I mean, easier to walk away because, you know, if you call somebody something for enough times, they will actually believe that it's true. What I mean by that is that sometimes you could have women, too, that are not necessarily the best of their children, but we don't say deadbeat moms. So they have a term out there, deadbeat dads, or there's the environment for men to find an escape route, really. And I think that the society and the culture by extension, once we understand self and have self-worth, that we would actually function different and act different towards our children and act toward different towards self by our mates by extension. I think it would build a healthier family.
So let's look at, as you just pointed out, the importance of self-worth. How do we value ourselves? And we'll focus on the men today.
Yes, please.
So that we understand how that value of self plays into their role as fathers.
Yes. As men, we bring a lot of value to a society. And I think if we don't understand the value that I bring as a man to not just my home, but a community, by extension, Barbados and the world, that when they see the statistics prove that when fathers are not in homes, that the children of those homes have a higher percentage of committing crimes, committing suicide, not doing as well academically, being productive, understanding self-worth and identity in self. So it shows that we actually bring a serious contribution to the environment and the emotional component and personality of an individual. So I think if a man understands that really, that he is not just there to serve a child, to just say, oh, I'm a father, to have, you know, several children, and then to find that that is a boast, but to understand that you are actually a serious contribution to our society, not just to the woman, but to society, and not to walk away after, despite whatever difficulties or differences that you may have with the significant other, spouse, or just it may be just a sexual encounter, but to understand that this child is going to be impacted if you are not present.
Well, then speak to helping to build that good emotional health with boys.
Okay. You mean from father's perspective?
Yes, okay. Because in our society, we tend to have a lot of female-headed households where the men are either visiting or absent altogether. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there are some, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and evidence, the research does indicate this as well, that lots of children, as you pointed out earlier, are affected by the absence of the positive male
When it comes to boy children, the fact of when males get to a certain age, especially around 7, 8, they are now looking for that person to give them the identity, which comes from the father. But also girls, but we focus on the boys right now. And when that person is absent from just the environment, I mean, even with visiting, and this is even where you have fathers that visit their children. Yeah, it's still, there's that impact. But it's even greater when the father is definitely not there. And I try to, when in my work, I try to get both parents to understand that phone calls don't work with children, to be quite honest. You mean you can call, and any person that try to call their child from a long distance and find the child answers the phone, but then it's like they lose interest in less than a minute, they're off the phone. So phone, although it's good to keep in contact with the child, it is not the same as your very presence. When your presence is there, there is something different. Many a person is hurting and void. So the understanding that the child needs is that boys need to have that identity or not. What will happen is that they try to find that identity in something else or some person else. And it can mm-hmm. be easily replaced by some media or medium or somebody, as I said, that is not the best interest for the child. And therefore, the child not having identity goes off and develops their own, create their own identity, or try to emulate another person or celebrity that is now the substitute of image. So it's not necessarily just a father figure, but who can I identify with in this season when I'm trying to find myself? And generally speaking, by the time the child gets into 11, 12, 13, 14, when they're now going among their peers, they should have the identity or have a sense of self. By the time they go amongst their peers, if they don't have that, now the peers, and they're drawn to other persons now that don't have an identity, and that those groups now help them to form. So you have the blind leading the blind in a situation, or where in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So they're now among or drawn to people that are of that same identity or are lacking identity. And therefore, we use those things. And I think there's a lot of destruction in our society because of that. So the long and short of it is that as men with able body or with disabilities need to understand that you're important to the child. Understanding, even although you may not feel you are not worthy, that you are very much an important aspect in relation to the child.
Now, let's also examine the whole subject of men with disabilities as fathers. How do we deal, or how do men with disabilities cope and develop that emotional strength to manage their own disability and feel confident within themselves, as well as being a father to a child now without a disability?
That is very interesting. I don't know if I have all the emotional understanding of a person going through such, but what I can go from just as a man dealing with my own children, and I'm just using some of my skills as a counselor, but I do believe that, and I'm making an assumption, that a person with a disability would already be going into the situation feel as though I am not able, or I am coping, or I don't have the coping mechanisms to parent. And I want to say to those men that have disabilities that even men that don't have disabilities, that we are very apprehensive. And we also feel as though we don't have the ability to parent a child. So a lot of men are still wondering, am I doing a good job? Am I doing the right thing without a disability? So you might think that it's just you, that because I don't have all my abilities, I might not be able to see or hear, or may not have necessary limbs or components, that I am not a good enough father, or I will fail this child. I want to say to you is that all men feel this way. So it is not, so don't use that, and to, if you make a mistake or you might not be able to run with your son or the same flare kite necessarily, the very fact that you are present, the presence that you have is the most important thing that is necessary. The presence of the man bypasses all things. It's not just what you can do, but it's your presence to be there, to be at that football game, to be at that cricket match, because you may not be able to hear, as I said, or to see or any of those things, the child is very, very pleased that my father is there to see me at these events.
Well, let's look at the other side of the coin, Sinclair, where you have a man who feels really excited about having a child. Mm-hmm. And then he's told, well, this child has an impairment. It has a disability. What or how do you think that man should work towards just being comfortable with the fact that the child has an impairment?
That also is a very good point. I think that, honestly, this is just my heart, is that for any time we become sexually active with any person, we should already register you are a parent. That is the truth, because anything can happen from there, and we should start having those discussions of, suppose this child has special needs. Mm-hmm. And this is where I'm saying is that we need to find a mature conversation before we become sexually active. We are in the media and we talk about, you know, being prepared for sexual activity with using certain paraphernalia before. But I think the conversation is the thing. I don't think it's the condom. I think it's the conversation mm-hmm. that need to be had, that once we are engaging sexual activity, that there we already are in a parenting act. And therefore, what are the variables? And one of those variables are that this child, there's a possibility of anything, that there's a percentage that this child may have a special needs. Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, both mother and father should already have this discussion. But let's say we're not there. And as you said, now the man, he's excited about his child. I know he hears that the child, there's told, okay, you have a special need. If you walk up from that child's life, you have once again, made that child experience rejection, but multiplied. Because many children, if we look at the statistics, because of fatherless homes or men not being in homes, children feel rejection. And it says, I did some stats from America, 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in the state operated institutions from fatherless homes. 40% of children do not live with their biological fathers. 85% of the children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. 71% of children who do not finish school come from fatherless homes. So this is, and this stats is a majority is made up of able bodies. So you can imagine where a child now that has a disability and the father is not there, the child would feel as though, because of my disability, because the child would internalize it, because I have a disability is why my father don't love me. Because of my disability is mostly why he's not with mommy. Because of my disability is why he don't turn up. Maybe he's embarrassed of me. Maybe he doesn't love me because of this. And this can cause all those statistics that I just read to be multiplied. Mm-hmm. So the child will feel depressed, and children go through depression that have disabilities, especially when the father is not there, because they feel as though because of this is why this man does not love me.
And then him not being there also is, there's the inability then sometimes by the mother or the grandparents who maybe, or other siblings who maybe in the home, having to carry a much heavier responsibility mm-hmm. of caring and nurturing that child with a disability.
Mm-hmm. And because that is now an additional burden on, I said, the mother or grandparent, once again, they weren't prepared either. And that is why it's so unreasonable when, if we as men, we do that. Because once again, the mother, she wasn't prepared either. Mm-hmm. So likewise, where both parents are now hearing this information for the first time, if as a man and I leave, she can't, because realistically then what happens? I mean, something like that does happen too. But more often than not, the mother is now there now taking the burden. So what does she do? She now has received the information at the same time and now has to do coping mechanisms and readjust the entire life to do such. And when we talk about, there's some situations where you have to be lifting the child, and we talk about now physical strength. So likewise, where the father should be there to lift and to carry, that is not available. So those things are very important, especially as the child gets older and there's the teasing or the bullying from other kids No, because of the child having the disability, and children can be very harsh and mean and evil to be quite honest to each other. So mainly it's when the child comes back home and they're looking for somebody now to encourage them and support them. Yes, mommy can do it. But I find that is a different thing when fathers reinforce and uplift and say, you know, you can do this, you can, you're okay, you know what I mean? I love you. We bring a different energy, a different spirit, a different, and I think that God designed us to do this thing, to build a backbone into the child, if you call it that, but to be encouraging that child and lift that child up. I mean, that child is now now trained to work that out. And we are absent. I think that that is a great disservice, to be quite honest.
Now, Sinclair, as we talk about a father or a man being the head of the household, being responsible as a father, let's look at some of the stigma and discrimination that men experience within a small community like Barbados. So you have a child with a disability, there's a stigma attached, oh, something could be wrong with him, or something has to be wrong with the mother. The fact that a man may have gone to prison and now is released and finding it hard to reintegrate into society, or the male may have a medical issue and have to be attending the physician on a regular basis, or might even have a mental health issue. These are issues, these are matters that confront men on a regular basis and will also impact on how they parent, how they father their children, and hopefully be able to break the cycle of the stigma and discrimination that they experience so it doesn't pass down into the family line.
Mm-hmm. And that is the whole stigma of having a child with a disability. I found this interesting. This is just from my perspective. I found when I was on the block, used to be on block years ago, and it was interesting to watch where one or two of the guys on the block had children with disability, and the entire block embraced. It was interesting. It wasn't that no one didn't recognize each other had the disability, but it was more of an embracing of the child and the disability. I think that I could be wrong, but I think that we kind of are more receptive. I think we still have a long way to go, but I think we are more receptive in our society of a person with disability. We still need education. But when it comes to the man, if he has a great sense of self, I think that helps with when he has his child with a disability, that others now are more encouraged to now walk with their child with a disability or take the child as a disability different places. I think if a man has a low self-esteem, I don't have a great sense of self, he will see that the child's disability, actually, he will see it as reflecting on him. Mm-hmm. And I think that as men have better self-esteem, and I think it's going to be a learning curve, I think, as churches and communities and organizations, that when men begin to understand that our role is just as important as the females, and in my case, I honestly feel even greater, to be quite honest, that people start to have a paradigm shift in the behavior. It might not change the entire community at the same time. But I believe that little by little, we'll find that more men will be in a standing position. Just for example, Yuli, where several years ago, you have not seen a man going to the gynecologist with his spouse. You have not seen a man going to the nursery, carrying the children to the nursery, walking with a baby by, going to a school fair, none of those things. But now you would see, even from right now, from office managers to guys on the block, they're taking their kids to school. They're walking with the baby bags and the babies. They're going to the school fairs, you know. So little by little, we are seeing a difference and a change. And I think that the more we encourage the behavior, yes, there's still negatives, please. But I think the more we encourage that behavior, that we see it, that we spill over, it becomes more of the normal, mm-hmm. the norm of a culture. We can create a culture. Mm-hmm. So therefore, to get healthy men, so that when they do have a child, and if that child has a disability, that they don't feel as though it reflects on them, but they now see, okay, let me build this man, this woman, this child of mine, in the healthiest manner possible. So I'm going to be there for the whatever. I'm going to find the ways of intelligence of this child to promote in every way possible. And I think that to me is a solution, really.
But I think the real nail that needs to be struck on the head is how do we develop that emotional intelligence, that healthy emotional well-being that our children, particularly our males, are able to understand themselves and understand their roles within the family, within the community, within the wider society. So I think that maybe you can just briefly touch on that area. How do we, what are some of the practical things that we can do as fathers to help our children, our sons especially, to develop that emotional well-being?
Right. From my perspective, I think that when I deal with parents and children, I normally deal with the parents more often than not. I think to help a child, I need to know myself. I need to understand my emotional, who I am as a person. And it is okay for us to, as people say, self-evaluate, which is very important. But to stop at self-evaluation is actually a hindrance. It is equivalent to saying to a child, go and check over your homework. And the child checks over the homework. But at the end of the day, the child can only know what it knows. So the same thing with us as adults. I can do my self-evaluation, but I only know what I know. So therefore, I can still have so many things that need correcting or adjusting in my own personal life. So how do I now improve on that? One, I get feedback. I go to persons to mentor. I think mentorship is very huge. That is needed in every part of our society. So as a man, I would find a mentor, somebody that has been through that, walked that path before, and therefore I make myself, you know, vulnerable with that person. How this impacts the child is that now that I have a person that can speak to me outside of my own consciousness and help me, now I can recognize that sometimes how I respond to my son or respond to my daughter is not necessarily the healthiest way. By having now my introspection plus another person leading me, I now learn how to help my child to build their emotions also. So I'm not just introspective. And you'll be finding that the child now is even healthier emotionally because they recognize, well, dad is not just seeing this thing from a subjective perspective, but he's also being able to see things from a different environment and be able to communicate, being able to touch, being able to hug without feeling is not masculine or having that child having capacity to be sad or to cry or to express hurt or fears or anger. Because we talk about crying, but a lot of men are not given the space to express their anger, right? So I know a lot of people talk about men having the ability to cry. For me personally, I have no problem with a man crying. I have a problem with a crying man, but that's just me. But I would say is that having men having a space that they can express their anger, why are you angry? What made you angry? Is I think is beautiful than to tell a person, don't be angry. Mm-hmm. I was constantly angry. So it's understanding those emotions by extension and having the ability to express those to my children, not just to go straight off into a rage and to quarrel and to beat, but to understand what were you thinking or what was your thought process when you did this, to help build this child to have a healthy emotion so they go through the emotions, the feelings, my actions as a result of those. What other perspectives can I choose, despite if I have these feelings and emotions, that are healthiest and best, because there are repercussions to our actions. So taking a child through those processes, and the only way I can do that is if I understand that. So I'm saying that we need to have a better understanding of self, and by extension become better parents. And I think that that is where we can start to see small pockets of healthier fathers, healthier children, both with disabilities and both able-bodied parents and children.
I think that's an excellent point for us to end off on, Sinclair. And just any final word you want to add as we wrap up this program?
Yes, please. I just want to say that men, we are very important. We are very, very, very important to our society. And I think some things that we don't get to share our stories to our children, honestly. And I think that we need to be consistent and be there for our children. Sometimes it may not always be easy, but I think that if we are persistent and our children can see that we are being persistent after their hearts, despite whatever is happening in their life, that our children recognize that dad loves them and we're going to have healthier family of better communities.
Wonderful. And I do agree with the points you're making. I think that's really essential that the men understand themselves and understand their roles as males and as fathers. So Sinclair Brown, I really want to thank you for coming and sharing with us. And over the next few months, we'll really delve into developing self, that we can be a better man and woman within our society. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudley Wickham Ashby, and today I'm really thankful to my technical operator, David Daddy Biggs Howell. He has been my technician today. And remember, you can reach me on 1-246-269-9660. You can WhatsApp me on that. You can also contact me via Starcom Network at 1-246-430-7300. And of course, you can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And remember, you can check out this and past episodes on the VOB929.com website. Look for the podcast link, click on it, and you'll be able to find the Visions radio program and listen. So until next week, do be safe and do enjoy yourself.